طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our ninth session for Arabic lessons in fiqh. Level 3, Mustawa Thalith, from the Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute program. We have been reading from the Kitab At-Tahara, which is the first book that we covered in this course. And recently we have been dealing specifically with Al-Wudu, Bab Al-Wudu, and when we dealt with its definition and the ruling concerning Wudu and the evidence for its obligation. And as well we covered the Furud of Al-Wudu. And last week we covered the Shurut. Shurutu Sihhati Al-Wudu. Yani, what do we mean by the shurut sihhati al-wudu? Prerequisite, preconditions. For the wudu to be sahih, to be sihha, yani to be sahih. Now, that's very important, part of the definition of shurut. If somebody says preconditions, we want clarification. What do you mean by preconditions? Conditions for what? Conditions in order for something, for it to be valid, to be sahih, to be correct, to be accepted. It's not valid without these conditions. Yani, a person might perform all the actions of wudu perfectly and completely, but if they didn't fulfill the preconditions for the validity of the wudu, then it will not be correct. So, we talked about that last week. And we said that the first of the preconditions for wudu to be valid is that the person has to be a Muslim. Because the ibadah of the kafir is not valid. And wudu is an act of any worship. The second condition we said is al-aql, meaning sane, sanity, that a person has to be sane because the insane person is not required to worship. The third condition we said is tamyiz, discernment. Because a person who can't discern, they don't know the difference, they can't differentiate between worship and that which is not worship, so there's no benefit in that. And the fourth condition we said is there has to be the presence of pure water, al-ma' at-tahur. Because wudu, with other than water that is tahur, is also not valid. And the fifth precondition for wudu we said is an-niyyah. Yani the niya, which kind of niya are we talking about? Sincerity. Yani sincere intention to do it for Allah alone. To do this as an act of worship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, Number two and number three. Number two, al-aql and al-tamyiz. Al-aql means the person has to be sane. They can't be a crazy person. Doesn't yani have control over their faculties. They don't know what they're doing. They're insane. They're not responsible. Tamyiz means that the person, the child has reached the age where they're able to differentiate between one thing and another. They know right from wrong. They know that this is worship and this is yani playing in the playground. Yani maybe a small child sees you going up and down. They think you're doing exercise. They don't know. They don't know the difference between that and worship. But the child, when they realize that this is not, he's not doing jumping jacks. He's doing worship. So that means that's discernment. They know the difference. There has to be discernment. If the child didn't reach the age of discernment, they didn't reach that level of understanding where they know the difference between worship and that which is not worship, then the worship is not valid from that one. Also we said, number six, we said, inqita' ma yujib al-wudu. What do we mean by this sixth condition? Inqita'u ma yujib al-wudu. Which makes wudu what? Taib, yani the discontinuance of that which yujib Al-wudu. Yujib means what? Makes it wajib. Requires. Naam. It makes it obligatory. What discontinues of that thing which necessitates wudu, which makes it obligatory upon you to make wudu. Yani a person relieved themselves. They went to the bathroom, relieved themselves. That act of relieving oneself causes you, makes it obligatory upon you now to make wudu if you want to do an act of worship. That's the meaning of awjaba yujibu, to cause, to make something obligatory. So that act makes the performance of wudu obligatory upon you. In the seventh one we said, izalatu ma yamna' usul al-ma' ila al-bashar. And we mean by that, izalatu, the removal of that which prevents the water from reaching direct contact with the body, parts that are washed in wudu. And the last one we said, al-istinja wal-ijtijma'. And we said that cleaning the private parts from the impurities that came from the body at the time of relieving oneself, if a person, yani, have relieved itself, then it's not like istinja or istijmar is required for every person. It's required for the one who has relieved itself to make sure when they relieve themselves, they remove those impurities. If they did that, when they make wudu, they don't have to do anything extra. But if they didn't do that for some reason, then they have to do it before wudu. Because this is a precondition for the performance of wudu, that the private areas for which the impurities come from the body are cleaned. Naam. And then we said, Sheikh Ibn Baz also mentioned two other things. One of them he mentioned, Dukhul al-Waqt. Dukhul waqt al-salat fi haqqi man hadathuhu da'im. Yani, that the person who has continuous, constantly be in a state of impurity, incontinence, for example, then that person, a precondition for wudu is that the time for that prayer has to have entered. They can't make the wudu before that time. But once the time entered, they make it, then they're good until the time of the next prayer. They're good. Even if they, before they actually prayed, they waited for the ikama 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, doesn't matter. Whatever happens during that period doesn't count. They are good. Their tahara is protected and preserved as long as they made wudu once the time has entered and not before that time. And the last thing that the Shaykh said, istishab hukm. Yani, keeping in mind the ruling for this niyyah, the obligation of having niyyah until the end of the act, not changing the intention in the process of wudu. They have a second thought and their mind is confused and they actually now change the intention to, I'm just washing my hands because there's some grease or some dirt or something on my hand I want to remove. So they're just washing for washing's sake and not for wudu. But they have to maintain that, keep with them consciousness, awareness until the end of the act of wudu. This is what Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya, added to the preconditions of wudu. Okay, so today we want to do sunan al-wudu. And there's a long list. And hopefully we can finish them today. Alright? And then, yani, if we have extra comments and things, we can save some of it for the next sitting. But today we want to try to finish Sunan al-Wudu. We're on page 17, 18, and 19. 17, 18, 19. From Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Program. By the way, a few weeks ago, we sent to the class a PDF file for Bulugh Maram. The purpose of me sending that file to the class was as a secondary reference for you, an extra reference. And whoever wants to know more details about these matters, this is an excellent yani, summary of yani, the fiqh of the hadith related to the matters of worship. Yani, Bulugh Maram is a book of ahkam. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani. He collected a tremendous book that's renowned from his time until today as being one of the important books. Summarized form. Yani, so it's not very lengthy. And then the explanation that we have of the Shaykh Safi al-Rahman, Mubarak Fouri, rahimahullah, is also a summarized explanation. It's not lengthy. It's not pages and pages and pages. But he explains each hadith with one or two or three or four paragraphs at the most. Usually just one paragraph or two, sometimes more or less. This is a reference for you. Please use it. Because if you went back now and read Kitab al-Wudu, in Bulugh al-Maram and the explanation of the Sheikh, you've got a lot of benefits that we're not going to get in this class. Some of it, yeah. But there's much more, Yani. So what I'm going to say now is please go back and review Bulugh al-Maram, Kitab al-Wudu. And perhaps, Yani, we might read some hadith from there in this class or in the next class or whenever time might allow. But please look at it and get some benefit. Okay, Sunan al-Wudu, page 17, number 1. What do we mean by Sunan al-Wudu, first of all? Huh? Some actions that are not mandatory, but they are recommended, commendable, praiseworthy. Yani, Sunan is the plural of Sunnah. Yani, so these are things that were from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they are plural, Sunan, right? Because there's more than one. So these are the things that are the Sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in wudu. Perhaps there's some difference about some of them, but in any case, Yani, this is what they came with. And you know, in matters of fiqh, there's always a lot of difference of opinion, right? The first one is as-siwak. As-siwak. What is as-siwak? Yani, the stick, the twig that comes from the arak tree that's used for brushing the teeth. It's not just any twig from any tree, any branch that you find anywhere. It's a certain tree that it comes from. This is especially known for this benefit, that it has benefits in cleaning, purifying, and giving a lot of benefits to the teeth and the mouth in general. Back home, use any tree, no problem. But this is the tree that the Prophet ﷺ spoke about. As-siwak. لحديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لولا أن أشك على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك عند كل صلاة رواه الجماعة وفي رواية لأحمد he had لأمرتهم بالسواك مع كل وضوء وللبخاري تعليقا لا أمرتهم بالسواك عند كل وضوء. يعني the proof that using the siwak, also known as miswak, also known as miswak, the proof for using it, that it is from the sunnah practices of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, is the hadith of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, لولا أن أشق على أمتي لو أمرتهم بالسواك عند كل صلاة. What is the meaning? With every wudu? In the kull, in the kulli salatin. No problem. No problem. We come into the wudu, inshallah. Lawla an ashukka. If it were not that, I would be making mashakka, hardship. Not shek with kaf, qaf. Mashakka. Mashakka means difficulty, hardship. Lawla an ashukka. Yani that if it wasn't that I would make a mashakka, hardship, ala ummati, upon my ummah, if it wasn't for that it would have become a hardship, la amartuhum bisiwaki inda kulli salatin. Then if it were not for that, I would have ordered them to use siwak inda kulli salatin, at every time of prayer, for every salat. Yani he would have ordered us that every time you pray, you have to use siwak. But he saw that it might be a hardship on the people. So he said, okay, I'm not going to order you. But the point is, if it was not for the fact that it would be a hardship, and he doesn't want to make hardship on the people, right? Because Allah wants for us ease. So even the Prophet, he's not going to make hardship on us. And we are not going to make hardship on other people. Because Allah, he doesn't place hardship on us. And our Prophet ﷺ was concerned about hardship on us. Then we should be concerned. If we have authority over others, be careful. Don't make hardship on the people. Don't make hardship on your spouse. Don't make hardship on your children. Don't make hardship on the people under your authority. Because if it wasn't for that, the fear of hardship on the people, the Prophet would have ordered us to do this. Because of the benefit that it contained, he would have commanded us to do it. So that we could have got the benefit. But then when he weighed it, but it may be a hardship, okay, I won't command them with it. But this is certainly an encouragement, right? So this is from the recommended, yani commendable acts to use miswak with every salat. This is reported by Al-Jama'ah. What do we mean by Al-Jama'ah? As-Saba'atu. Naam? Okay, can somebody talk to him, please? So we don't have a long interruption for the class. Somebody please talk to him. Try to find out what's going on first. Find out what's going on. Wa alaykum salam. I think there's a difference of opinion about it. Does a regular toothbrush fulfill the sunnah? I mean, it's not the same, that's for sure. It certainly may give you cleanliness, right? But is it the same as using miswak? I would say no. There's a difference of opinion about it. But Allahu A'lam, yani, it's definitely not the same. There's no doubt about it. Yani, what's in the miswak is not in the toothbrush. That's for sure. But does it fulfill a sunnah? Yani, does a person get credit for doing the sunnah if they brush their teeth with a toothbrush? Perhaps, maybe. But they're not the same, that's for sure. I'm saying they're not the same, but I'm not saying that a person is not going to get credit. Like if they say, I want to follow the sunnah, I'm going to brush my teeth at every time of prayer. Inshallah, hopefully they will get credit. Hopefully they will get credit. But it's not the same. It's not going to serve the exact same purpose. Because there is a difference between miswak and a toothbrush. Even if you're using miswak toothpaste. Okay, let's go on. We don't want to get sidetracked too far. Now, Maki.
During the Fajr Salat, if I don't have this stick that is mentioned here, is it better to use the toothpaste than the toothbrush? For the Fajr Salat, or just leave it altogether because I don't have the stick?
No, if you don't have an actual miswak, then do something. Naam. Better use something than nothing, no doubt. Because you want your mouth to be clean. You want to take care of your mouth and your teeth and be refreshed. You know, especially the Prophet ﷺ used to use the miswak at certain times. One of them was when he awoke from sleep in the middle of the night. If he went to pray tahajjud, he would use miswak before he prayed.
Wasn't one of the last things that he asked for was a miswak?
Naam, when he was on his deathbed. He saw the brother of Aisha, Abdurrahman, with a miswak and he told her to get it. She took it from her brother and fixed it for him, and then he used it before he passed away. Okay, don't get sidetracked, please, brothers. I would have ordered them with miswak at every salat, reported by Al-Jama'ah. Al-Jama'ah means what? The seven. Who are the seven?
Bukhari,
Muslim, the two Sahihs, the four Sunan, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i, and Imam Ahmad. Okay, the two Sahihs, the four Sunan, and Imam Ahmad. That's the seven that is intended here. Okay, this narration is reported by the seven. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لِأَحْمَدٍ. And in a narration that's just for Ahmad, he said, if it would not have been a hardship on my ummah, لَأَمَرْتُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ مَعَ كُلِّ وُضُوءٍ. Along with every performance of ablution, I would order them to use miswak. And Bukhari mentions تَعَلِيقًا. تَعَلِيقًا means, he mentioned it without mentioning the isnad. He just mentions yani the end of the isnad. He doesn't mention the full isnad. He mentioned the ta'aliqan, la amartuhum bis siwaqi inda kulli wudu'in, that I have ordered them with siwak at every wudu. Yani that the meaning of it here is the same as the meaning of what Imam Ahmad reported. Otherwise, the general meaning is the same. Every salat, every wudu. Yani wudu is basically for salat. So it's yani regularly yani using siwak. Sunan, the sunnah al-thaniya, al-tasmiyatu fi awwalihi. Al-tasmiya, yani al-tasmiya is from which verb? Is the masdar from? Samma yusammi, ala wazn?
Taf'ilatun.
Yani the wazn for the bab fa'ala is taf'il. But here, because of what? Why is it a little bit different? Because it ends with a weak letter verb. It's a naqis verb. Therefore, the pattern for the masdar is going to be instead of tafa'ilun, tafa'ilatun, tasmiyatun. Okay, tasmiyah fi awwalihi means what? To mention the name of Allah. To mention the name of Allah. To say bismillah, not bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's basmala. This is tasmiyah. What is the proof for this? Li hadithi Abi Hurairata رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا صلاة. What kind of la is this? نافية للجنس. لا صلاة لمن لا وضوء له ولا وضوء لمن لم يذكر اسم الله عليه رواه أحمد وأبو داود وابن ماجة وهو حديث حسن حسن يعني the hadith of Abu Hurairah may Allah be pleased with him he narrates from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said the Prophet said لا صلاة there's no salat يعني the salat doesn't exist it's not valid لا صلاة لمن لا وضوء له there's no salat for the person who doesn't have ablution الوضوء ولا وضوء لمن لم يذكر اسم الله عليه and there's no وضوء يعني the وضوء doesn't exist it's not valid for the one who has not mentioned the name of Allah upon it this is hadith reported by Ahmed in his book which book Ahmed I heard two different answers Musnad the Musnad of Imam Ahmed And Abu Dawood in his book, which one?
Sunan.
The Sunan of Abu Dawood. Which Abu Dawood is this? Al-Imam Abu Dawood Al-Tayalisi? No? Al-Sijistani? Huh? Al-Sijistani, naam. Al-Imam Abu Dawood Al-Sijistani. Yani Al-Imam Abu Dawood Al-Tayalisi is before Al-Sijistani. Yani, he has a book also called the Musnad of Abu Dawood. Al-Tayalisi. And it's also reported in the which book of Ibn Majah?
Sunan.
Sunan of Ibn Majah. And in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, yani Shaykh al-Albani, in checking the Sunan of Ibn Majah, he said this hadith is sahih. So the hadith is what? There's no salat for the one who has no wudu, and there's no wudu for the one who has not mentioned the name of Allah upon it. Reported by Imam Ahmed, Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Ibn Majah, who hadithun hasanun. Some scholars said, concerning this hadith, that it is a dalil that the tasmiyah, saying Bismillah before the wudu, is a shart or a rukn. Why would they say it's a shart? Because it has to be done before wudu. Why would they say it's a rukn? Because it's an essential part. And it's either an essential precondition or an essential part. And it's essential because why? Because la salata. I mean, لا وضوء لمن لم يذكر صلى الله عليه. The person has no wudu if he hasn't mentioned it. That means it's essential, either as a precondition or as a rukn part of the wudu. And there's a difference of opinion about this because of the weakness that this hadith contains. Some scholars rejected it, and other scholars said it was hasan. And so, because of the difference of opinion, so we placed it under ani sunan instead of saying that it's a shart or a rukn. He said that it's sunan. Wallahu a'lam. Naam.
Did anyone interpret it as the niyyah? Mentioning Allah as the niyyah or something?
Perhaps. Perhaps. But does it take the place of niyyah? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm asking you to know one of the fuqaha
Yani that what is meant in this hadith is that there's no wudu unless the person has niyyah?
Yes.
I don't know. Perhaps. Okay, number three. Ghaslu al-kaffain. We turn to page 18, top of the page says number three from the sunan of wudu is ghaslu Al-Kaffain. What do we mean by Kaffain? The hands. More specifically? The palm of the hand. Yani the whole of the hand, front and back and side, up to the wrist. Yani up to the wrist. That's what we mean by the Kaff. Because remember, Yed has different meanings. One of them is Kaff. Yani the hand up to the wrist. And the other meaning of Yed is up to the elbow. And the third meaning of Yed is up to the shoulder. And here is mentioned specifically that we're talking about up to the wrist. And that's why the word kaf is used. Ghaslu al-kaffaini. Yagsilu kaffayhi thalatha marratin bi-ifraghi al-ma'i. What? What's the next word? That's what it looks like, but it's not. يَغْسِلُ كَفَّيْهِ. Pay attention, please. يَغْسِلُ كَفَّيْهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ بِإِفْرَاغِ الْمَاءِ. What?
الْمَاءِ.
What about? عَلَيْهِمَا. إفراغ الماء عليهما. على what? على الكفين. على الكفين. نعم. يغسل كفيه. He washes his two hands, palms, three times by pouring, by إفراغ, emptying الماء, the water, عليهما, upon them, من الإناء, from the container. إن كان يتوضأ من إناء. If he is making wudu from a container, then he washes the two hands three times by pouring the water out of the container upon his two hands. If he's making water from a container. لأن أثمان رضي الله عنه وصف وضوء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال دعا بالماء دعا بالماء فأفرغ على كفيه على كفيه ثلاث مرات فغسلهما ثم أدخل يده في الإناء متفق عليه. يعني he washed his hands three times by emptying, pouring out the water upon them from the container. Why are we saying that this word here is a mistake? It's not عليهما, it's عليهما. Because in the hadith, Uthman mentions that the Prophet أفرغ على كفيه. أفرغ عليهما. عليهما من الإناء. So he pours the water upon his two hands from the container. If he is performing ablution from a container, and that's because Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, wasafa wudu al-Nabi. He described the ablution of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, saying, فَقَالَ دَعَى. The Prophet دَعَى بِالْمَاءِ. Meaning? He called for the water. فَأَفْرَغَ عَلَى كَفَّيْهِ. Then he poured, emptied it upon his two palms. ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. He poured it out, water, three times. فَغَسَلَهُمَا. And then he washed the two of them. ثُمَّ أَدْخَلَ يَدَهُ فِي الْإِنَاءِ. Then he entered his hand into the container. Yani he didn't put his hand in the container until he first washed them. Outside of the container. Then you can put your hand in the container. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. And also we should note here that he washed his two hands together, not separately. Meaning he didn't wash one hand three times and then the other one three times, but rather he washed both of them at the same time, together. Two times, three times. Yani, inside, outside, sides, the whole of the hand, completely. And inshallah we're going to mention the saying of Al-Imam Shafi'i concerning related to this.
The hand was put in the ina, that's when he washed it, or it was part of the wudu?
It appears that the wudu starts with washing the face. But you can't put your hand in to get the water to wash your face until you first wash your hands. So the Prophet used to wash his hands three times first, and then he'll wash the face. And there's some discussion, we're going to come to it, inshallah. Okay, that is what? The third sunnah of wudu. Washing the two palms from the beginning of the wudu. Wash the two palms before putting the hand in the container, taking water out to rinse the mouth and nose and wash the face. Number four. Al-bada'u bil-madmadati wal-istinshaqi inda ghasli al-wajhi wal-mubalagatu feehima ma lam yakun sa'iman. Yani al-bada'u is from bada'a. Beginning, starting with al-madmada, with rinsing the mouth, wal-istinshaq, and cleaning the nose, inda ghasli al-wajh. At the time of washing the face, and when you're going to wash your face, starting first with rinsing the mouth and nose. That's another discussion we're going to come to. That's what's preferable, and some scholars say both of them are sunnah, washing them separately, or washing them together. But what is more, yani mostly mentioned in the sunnah, and more stronger, is washing them with, yani mouth and nose with one handful of water three times. Yani each time you take a handful of water, you put water, some of it into the mouth and some of it into the nose, and you do them together. But beginning with the mouth and nose, at the time of washing the face, وعليكم السلام, begin with the mouth and nose. والمبالغة فيهما ما لم يكن صائما, and also that you go to the extreme in doing so. You exaggerate and making the water go up into the nose, into the deepest part of the nose, and then they are adding to it the mouth. By comparison, as long as you are not a fasting person. And this is based upon لما جاء في وصف وضوئه صلى الله عليه وسلم و, and also لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبالغ في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما رواه الخمسة وصححه الترمذي. Now what is the proof for doing the mouth and nose first, yani when you do the face, and going to the extreme in doing so? Yani they're just bringing the proof concerning the mubalagha in the mouth and nose, and that is due to what came in the description of his wudu. Yani in the description of his wudu, he washed his mouth and nose first as a part of the face. And also due to his saying, yani going to the extreme in that, rinsing the mouth and nose, is based on his saying, balig, go all the way to the extreme, fully, in al istinshaq, yani in cleaning the nose, illa an takuna sa'iman, unless you are a fasting person, reported by Al-Khamsa, and Al-Khamsa we mean Imam Ahmed and the four Sunan, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasai. Ahmed and the four Sunan. وَصَحَّحَهُ التِّرْمِذِي, meaning Tirmidhi declared it to be sahih, to be authentic. The fifth Sunnah of ablution, تَخْلِيلُ اللِّحْيَةِ الْكَثِيفَةِ. What do we mean by اللِّحْيَةِ الْكَثِيفَةِ? It's what? Beard, but I don't know what kind of beard you're describing it as. Thick. Yani heavy, thick beard. Thick, heavy beard. Takhleel literally means, takhleel means, yani running your fingers through the beard if it's a heavy beard, fingers. And taking water in the hand and making the fingers go through the beard. Takhleel al-lihya al-kathifa. If a person has a big, thick, heavy beard. الله أعلم. لحديث عثمان رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخلل لحيته أو لحية يخلل لحيته لحيته. يعني this is based on the hadith of عثمان ابن عفان رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخلل, يعني he used to run his fingers through his beard. يخلل لحيته. قال الترمذي, this hadith about it, الترمذي said هذا حديث حسن صحيح. يعني this is a hadith that's حسن صحيح. Hadith that's حسن صحيح. وقال البخاري هذا أصح حديث في الباب. And الإمام البخاري رحمه الله said this is the most صحيح, the most authentic hadith in this bab, meaning in this subject. Which subject? The running of the fingers through the beard. How you deal with the beard? The most authentic hadith related is this hadith here. Shaykh al-Albani said that it's hadith Hassan, and it is also declared to be sahih by Ibn Khuzaymah. Huh? Even if you don't, if you're not sure if you have a thick beard, just take some water and run it through the beard. Take it underneath. Yani from the chin underneath here, right? At the bottom of the cheekbones, right? And take and go through it. I don't know about that. Anyway, let's look in Bulugh Umar and other books and see if we can find some description like that. I don't think we're gonna find it. Okay, let's go on. Yani takhleel al-lihya. Number 6. Takhleel asabi' al-yadain wal-rijlain. Al-yadain wal-rijlain. Yani takhleel again of the fingers of the hand and the fingers of the feet means what? The toes. The fingers of the hand, of the two hands and the two feet mean the fingers of your hand and the toes of your feet. Takhleel asabi' al-yadain wal-rijlain. This is based on the hadith of Ibn Abbas. The hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا توضعت فخلل في الأمر أصابع يديك ورجليك رواه أحمد والترمذي وابن ماجه وحديث المستورد ابن شداد رضي الله عنه قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخلل أصابع رجليه بخنصره رواه الخمسة إلا أحمد. Okay, so the rubbing of the fingers between a rubbing of a finger or fingers between the fingers and between the toes, yani, it's called takhlil. And this is based on the hadith of Ibn Abbas first. May Allah be pleased with him and his father that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا تَوَضَعَتَ فَخَلِّلْ. Yani, if you perform ablution, فَخَلِّلْ. This is the fi'l amr. And this could give us, yani, an appearance that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ordering us, فَخَلِّلْ أَصَابِعَ يَدَيْكَ وَرُجْلَيْهِ. Yani, the fingers of your hand and the fingers of your feet, rub between them. This is a command. But in any case, yani, it came like that. Also, that which is reported from Imam Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi, or this hadith is reported by Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, rahimahumullah. And then there's a second hadith, the hadith of Mustawrid, Ibn Shadad. May Allah be pleased with him. He said, Ra'aytu Rasulullah, I saw the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yukhallilu asabi'a rizlehi bi khin sarihi. Aw khin sirihi. Yani, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rubbing between the fingers of his feet, yani his toes, the toes of his feet. Yani, asabi rijlihi means the fingers literally of his feet, meaning the toes, bi khinsirihi, with his khinsir, his pinky, rubbing between the toes with his pinky. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I saw him doing that. Okay? And this is reported by Al-Khamsa, yani the four sunan, except Ahmed. Al-Khamsa illa Ahmed. It should be Al-Arba'a. Wallahu alam. It seems like, unless there's something else intended here that I'm not sure about. But in any case, it said Al-Khamsa illa Ahmed. Okay, let's just mention here that in this hadith, there are two narrations. I mean, in this matter, there are two narrations. What's the difference between these two narrations, basically?
One, he saw
the Prophet doing an action, and the other one, the Prophet is saying, is commanding us to do an action. And there's usually a difference between the two, right? Yeah, in other words, if the Prophet commanded us with something, the general rule is, al-amru yaqtidi al-wujub. That when we have a command, it generally indicates an obligation. But an action of the Prophet, him doing something doesn't mean that it's obligatory. So in any case, this is just a point to keep in mind when we're studying evidences. If the Prophet ﷺ did something, that doesn't necessarily mean it's obligatory. It just means that it's definitely legislated. But if he ordered to do something, that's a different level right there. Okay, so in any case, these are two different hadith. One is a statement of the Prophet. One is the action of the Prophet. One of them is talking about the fingers of the hand and the toes of the feet. And the other one is talking specifically about the toes of the feet being rubbed between them with your pinky.
Is the right pinky or the left? Because you are saying when you use your right hand, you may use your left pinky.
Allahu alam. Allahu alam. Yani, the hadith is not clear concerning that particular point. Generally, yani, Imam Ahmed's view concerning cleaning is that it should be done with the left. Whether it's yani, cleaning your teeth or cleaning anything, his view is cleaning should be done with the left. In any case, there's difference of opinion about it, but Allahu A'lam. Okay, so that is takhlil asabi al-yadain wa rijlain. Cleaning, yani, between your fingers and cleaning between your toes. Very important part of wudu. And it's mentioned here as a sunnah of wudu. And, yani, but its importance, it should be not underestimated because in the first narration of the hadith, it says, إِذَا تَوَضَّعَتَ فَخَلِّلْ. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ gave us a command. Okay, so take it serious. The seventh sunnah, at-tayamun. At-tayamunu. At-tayamunu means
starting with the right.
Giving precedence to the right. Beginning things Right, you know, washing the hands, right hand first, feet, right foot first, and so on. Washing the body in ghusl, right side first, and so on. Yani the meaning of tayammun, A, al-bada'u bil-yumna qabla al-yusra. Yani beginning with the right, before the left, fil yadain wa rijlain, in terms of the two hands and the two feet, doing the right one first before the left. وَذَلِكَ لِحَدِيثِ عَيْشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. And this is based on the hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. She said, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعْجِبُهُ التَّيَمُّنُ فِي تَنَعُلِهِ وَتَرَجُّلِهِ وَتُهُورِهِ وَفِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّهِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. She said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to be pleased. He used to prefer, يعني التيمن, beginning with the right, in terms of his footwear, تَنَعُلِهِ, يعني putting on his shoes, or slippers, or sandals, وَتَرَجُّلِهِ, and combing his hair, the right side first, وَتُهُورِهِ, and in his all acts of purification, starting with the right first, وَفِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّهِ, and in all of his affairs, and we mean by that honorable and noble affairs, otherwise other types of things, then he going into the bathroom, he went in with the left first, and so on. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh, meaning agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Doing, when there are two, doing the right before the left. Number eight, the eighth sunnah. As-sunnah al-thamina. Al-ghaslatan al-thaniya wa-thalitha. Al-ghaslatan al-thaniya wa-thalitha. Meaning, the two washings. Second and the third. Yani the second washing and the third washing. Yani if the parts of the body are washed three times, the second one and the third one are sunnah. The first one is obligatory, the second and third is sunnah. Yani ghaslu marratan fil wudu'i huwa al-fardu. Yani washing the member of the body that's required for wudu to be washed, washing it one time, marratan, is fard, obligatory. وَمَا وَرَدَ فِي غَسْلَتَيْنِ وَثَلَاثَةِ فَهُوَ لِلْإِسْتِحْبَابِ. And as far as what has been narrated concerning الْغَسْلَتَيْنِ, يعني washing twice, or ثَلَاثَة, the three times, فَهُوَ لِلْإِسْتِحْبَابِ. This means that is something that is مُسْتَحَب. يعني these narrations indicate that to wash a second and third time is مُسْتَحَب, is recommended, is commendable, it's praiseworthy. Literally, mustahab means it is yani mahbub, it is beloved by Allah and His Messenger. Literally, it means from hub, yani something that's loved by Allah and His Messenger. Mustahab. Yani we generally say it's commendable or recommended, but literally it means it's something that's loved by Allah and His Messenger. If we understand that meaning, perhaps we should start translating mustahab as that which is loved by Allah and His Messenger. It might make us do it more. Because it's not just recommended, this is something that Allah loves. Naam.
What's the ihrab?
Where? Marratan? Al-ghaslu marratan. Yani maf'ool. Naam. It's mansoob because يعني the meaning of is الغسل يعني غسلة مرة واحدة يعني the number, يعني the number of times. الغسل, no, not تمييز, it's indicating the number of times it's washed, and it comes under مطلق, مفعول المطلق. يعني غسل مرة واحدة, يعني the meaning of it is مرة واحدة. يعني الغسل مرة في الوضوء هو الفرض. As far as what has been narrated concerning غسلتين, washing twice, a second time or a third time, this is يعني what is loved by Allah. وذلك للحديث عمر ابن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده رضي الله عنهم. And this is based on the hadith of Amr ibn Shu'ayb. He narrated from his father, who narrated from his grandfather رضي الله عنهم, may Allah be pleased with all of them. He said, جاء أعرابي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسأله على الوضوء. Yani a Bedouin came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking him about ablution. فَأَرَاهُ ثَلَاثًا ثَلَاثًا. So he showed him the ablution where each part of the body was washed three times. ثَلَاثًا ثَلَاثًا. Yani each part three times. وَقَالَ هَذَا الْوُضُوءُ. And then he said to him, the Prophet said to the man after he showed him the wudu like this, he said, this is the ablution. This is how it should be done. Yani this is the fullest form of it, the most perfect and complete. فَمَنْ زَادَ عَلَى هَذَا فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ وَتَعَدَّ وَظَلَمَ. And whoever went beyond this, this is the most complete and perfect. You can't go more than this. That's it, it's full. Three times. فَمَنْ زَادَ عَلَى هَذَا. But whoever increased on this, فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ. Then he has done something سَيَّ, evil. وَتَعَدَّ. He has transgressed the bounds. وَظَلَمَ. يعني he has done ظُلْم. Wrong. Yani done something, he did that which is out of its place. Yani, dhulm means to put something in other than its rightful place. Yani whoever does more than this, more than three times, he has done evil. He has transgressed the bounds. He has done wrong. Dhulm. Rawahu Ahmad wa Nasa'i wa Ibn Majah. Yani this hadith is narrated by Imam Ahmad, Imam al-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah, rahimahumullah. And likewise, a proof for this matter is the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَوَضَّعَ ثَلَاثًا ثَلَاثًا رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ وَأَحْمَدُ. And more clear, yani is the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed wudu ثَلَاثًا ثَلَاثًا, meaning each part of the body he washed three times. And of course, yani there's the opinion that we mentioned, the majority opinion, that means except the head, right? No. That's the majority opinion. Even though there's yani, some discussion concerning this that we'll take when we have time. The ninth, we just have a couple of minutes left. The ninth sunnah. As-sunnah, at-tasiyah, al-dhikru, ba'da al-wudu'i. The dhikr, the words of remembrance that should be said. We mean here by dhikr, it means dhikr and dua. Yani the dhikr, and as well dua, the dhikr after the completion of the ablution. لِحَدِيثِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَتَوَضَّعُ مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَتَوَضَّعُ فَيُصْبِغُ الْوُضُوءَ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إلا فتحت له أبواب الجنة الثمانية يدخل من أيها شاء رواه مسلم وأحمد وأبو داود. يعني the proof that it is sunnah to make dhikr and dua after the completion of wudu is the hadith of Umar, يعني Ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. There's no one from amongst you. يَتَوَضَّعُ فَيُصْبِغُ الْوُضُوَى. Who performs ablution and he does it thoroughly. يُصْبِغُ. From أَصْبَغَ. أَصْبَغَ يُصْبِغُ. فَيُصْبِغُ الْوُضُوَى. There's no one of you who performs ablution and then does it well. Does it thorough. Complete. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ. And after he performs it well, he says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Yani that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and he has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipper and his messenger. Nobody who performs this thorough wudu and makes this statement, إِلَّا فُتِحَتْ لَهُ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ الثَّمَانِيَةُ, except that the eight doors or gates of paradise will be opened for him. يَدْخُلُ مِنْ أَيِّهَا شَاءَ, and he will enter from whichever of them he wills. Reported by Imam Muslim and Imam Ahmed and Imam Abu Dawud rahimahumullah. And then there's also yani what has also been authentically yani narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith in which yani I think it's reported by At-Tirmidhi. And he said that the Prophet ﷺ also taught us after wudu, after saying this, to say what? Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabina waj'alni من المتطهرين. And it's also authentically narrated. And that's why I said, يعني the dhikr after wudu, we should also include in it dua. Because this is the dua, right? اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. Oh Allah, make me of those who are frequently making tawbah, repentance. And those who are frequently, يعني, doing purification. Okay, the last. Now. Yeah, Ibrahim, why are you sitting behind me? I didn't know you were here. Subhanallah. We only have, oh, that's why. Thank you, Ya Abdul Haq. You are so wonderful. Naam, quickly. We only have a few minutes.
Is it better to mention all the sattar, or is it better to mean you perform ablution at this time, you see this one, and another time, you see this one? You ought to know.
Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. But I mean, generally speaking, yani there's no harm in alternating. If there's more than one, yani one thing that has been narrated from the Prophet, there's no harm in doing one sometime and another, so that you don't yani abandon any of the sunnah. But some, it's possible that one might be better than another. So yani a person should be careful of that. Yani, but generally speaking, inshallah, there's no harm. But I'm not going to say definitively, because that requires some investigation. Yani, is it, would, yani, is one equal to another? Yani, is saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, is there something else that's equal to that? Allahu a'lam. I mean, yani, we have to look at it. In any case, the scholars, usually they have ijtihad concerning these things. So you'll find that sometimes, how many supplications are there for opening the prayer, for the beginning of the prayer? How many, right? So some scholars prefer one over another. One scholar said this is the one that he prefers. The other one said this is the one that he prefers. But generally speaking, you can alternate, do one or the other, or perhaps even yani, do more than one. What about? Yani, returning salam shouldn't be, you know, yani, orally, but yani, by signaling with the hand is yani, sunnah, naam. But not orally, not speaking, actually talking, right? Because yani, we're not supposed to talk in the salat except that which is part of the salat. Yani saying that which is part of the salat.
No,
you said wudu. Oh, you said
wudu?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said salat. I don't remember.
But for this question, at this year they say to add, but in this course they say to add, for this question. This year they say that I kind of no, I don't.
No, in this case, the supplication, Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin, came in one hadith together with the beginning of this. Came in the narration of Tirmidhi, both of them together, not separately as two different things. Okay, we just have one more point and just a couple of minutes remaining. So let's try to finish this. Next week, inshallah, we can return to some of this and maybe look at some other points. But the last point is as-sunnah al-ashirah, number 10, al-iqtisadu fil ma'i. What's the meaning of al-iqtisadu fil ma'i?
Moderation.
Economics. Naam. Being economical. Yani, moderation. Economical. Naam. Yani, meaning not wasting water when you're making ablution. لِحَدِيثِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ عَمْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَرَّ بِسَعَدٍ وَهُوَ يَتَوَضَّأُ فَقَالَ مَا هَذَا الصَّرْفُ ما هذا الصرف فقال يعني سعد is replying to him فقال أفي الوضوء إسراف قال نعم وإن كنت على نحر جار رواه ابن ماجة يعني this hadith we put by ابن ماجة ويشهد له قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا الوضوء فمن زاد على هذا فقد أساء وتعدى وظلم وقد تقدم ذكره قريبا. يعني the proof for this being economical in the use of water, not wasting the water when making ablution, is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr. يعني Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Al-As رضي الله عنهما, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by Sa'ad وهو يتوضا. He passed by Sa'id while he was making ablution, and he said to him, ما هذا الصرف؟ ما هذا الصرف؟ يعني إسراف. What is this? Excessiveness, waste, extravagance in the use of water. فقال, يعني he asked, أفي الوضوء إسراف؟ يعني when we make a wudu, we ask, is it possible that a person can be wasteful and making wudu? The Prophet ﷺ said, نعم, yes. وإن كنت على نهر جار, even if you were upon a river that is flowing, even if you had a river, you shouldn't be wasting water. And a river is flowing, how can there be wasted water? The Prophet said, even if you were. So what if you're not on a river? You're making water from a bucket, and this is all the water that we have left, or you're making water from the faucet, and you don't know if the water is going to be cut off. Anyway, don't waste water. Don't turn the water on. Just let it run and run and run. Wallahu musta'an. Allah save us from this. This hadith is reported by Ibn Majah. And what? Yashhadu lahu, yani meaning, bears witness to it. Supports it, is the saying, his saying, that is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in the previous hadith that was mentioned. This is the wudu. When he showed the man how to make wudu, and he said, whoever does more than this, zada ala hadha, a person has done something evil, he has transgressed the bounds, and he has done wrong. And this, the mention of that hadith has preceded, yani reported by Imam Ahmed and Nasai and Ibn Majah. And I just want to say, yani, that there's one hadith, we're going to close with this because we're actually at the end of the time, that supports, yani, rubbing the arms and parts of the body when you're making ablution. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, utiya bi thuluthay mudd, yani that three thirds of a mud of water was brought to him. It was a very, very small amount of water. فَجَعَلَ يَدْلُقُ ذِرَاعَيْهِ. So he began to take a little bit of that water and rub it on his forearms to make sure he got every spot by rubbing, not by pouring yani buckets of water on the arm. By rubbing it in, this hadith reported by Imam Ahmed and Imam Ibn Khuzayma, rahimahullah, said that it is sahih.
Rubbing,
yani the taking the water, instead of just pouring a whole lot of water, but actually taking a little bit of water and rubbing it to make it reach more places with just a little bit of water. He only had thuluthay mud. Yani a mud is what?
Two hands
together, cupped together. He had a little bit of water, so he was making it yani last. Okay, so this is also, some of the scholars said this is a proof that rubbing is from the sunnah in performing ablution. And this is under the iqtisad fil ma. Yani, I'm just like mentioning this hadith because it's related to the topic of not wasting water. But the point, what it points to is the rubbing in the washing of the body. When you're using a little bit of water, rubbing it to make sure you reach every part. Now, and we're going to stop here. I'm listening.
Well,
first of all, you already washed your face.
Yes.
You already washed your face. Now you're washing your hands. So after you wash your hands, you're going to do your head.
Right.
Your question should be, because you're talking about washing the hands and then the face. But it should be the face and then the hands. So now after the hands, you're going to do your head. Can you use the same water that you use to wash your hands if there's water left over to wipe your head?
No, that's my question.
You're saying you're washing your hands.
Okay, use that water.
You're up to your elbow.
Right.
Can you use that water for what?
Okay, so no, I'm saying that the water that you put on your face.
Can you use the water you use for your face to
you
on your hands?
Two or three times, right?
Uh-huh.
You use that same water, that same water that's on your face, instead of using new water to go to your face. You understand?
Yeah.
And then more water three times. I can use that same water because your face is still wet. Rub, get the spots good. Then use it the second time.
Yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took water three times. He took water three times. And we'll look at the hadith of Abdul ibn Zayd and we'll see that he took water three times. Even when he's doing the mouth and nose,
right.
Took water three times. We're going to stop here, inshallah. Now. Now? No, we're actually over time. Go ahead.
It's concerning rubbing the pads. Because it happened to me that I used pure water to for the wudu. But I was concerned about if the water is not falling, is it not...
Is it not falling?
Yeah, is it not in that case wiping instead of washing?
Huh?
I smell it too.
What is it? Where? Okay. We don't have any proof that it has to be rolling, but it has to touch, and it has to, as long as there's nothing. What is preventing it from touching the skin? Is there something the person has grease or something on their hand, some kind of lotion or something that's preventing it from touching the skin? If there's nothing there, as long as he rubbed the water on his skin, because what is it going? If you actually put water directly on your skin and you rub it.
Rubbing means rubbing, not wiping.
Okay. That's the point, rubbing. That's why I mentioned this point, rubbing. That, inshallah, according to some scholars, is from the Sunnah. We're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.